Lord Jesus, please lead us into all truth. Soften hearts and minds to receive your word and all it says. Give us understanding beyond any denomination or YouTube preacher, that we might have the whole truth without compromise or error. Amen. Well, precious family, there's a great question in the body of Christ. Well, there's many, as many denominations as there are. Since there are hundreds of denominations, there are also hundreds of opinions on different parts of the scriptures. So the Lord is calling us to a deeper understanding, going much deeper than a particular teacher we like. When there is controversy, only the scriptures with the Holy Spirit's help will stand before the God of all truth. We have a choice to make. We can stick with what is familiar and what most people agree on as being the final word, or we can think out of the box and search out the foundational truth from the Word of God to see if it agrees with popular opinion. In all things, we must be aware of spiritual sloth, staying on the surface, agreeing with our peers for the sake of convenience or acceptance. Here's the question. Are the saints in heaven aware of our trials here on earth? If they are, what do they do with their time in heaven? For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And what do sons of God do? Work in his vineyard, of course. But I'd like to begin by stating that I believe in the Holy Trinity of God, and sometimes liken it to the way he created us. We have a spirit, soul, and body, which are three distinct parts, but still only one person. And I believe we're not always united in what these three parts think and do. The spirit and the flesh have ongoing battles in us humans, but not in God. The three are in complete agreement and work in total union. In Colossians 1:15, Scripture says about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. So, what are all things? Well, earth, space, oceans, trees, flowers, animals, and of course, the masterpiece made in his image, human beings. In him, all things hold together. So we humans relate to one another. We even read the thoughts of people we know well. And we sometimes feel called to pray for someone and later find out they were in an accident. I believe the Holy Spirit quickened us to pray. Since the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all one, united in the same, he knows our thoughts at all times, and since we are all interconnected by the Spirit of God living in us, I believe when Holy Spirit is aware of something, he can make anyone else aware of it as well. And in doing that, have several people praying for an emergency. So especially in prayer, the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, can alert anyone in whom the Spirit dwells if they are sensitive to him. The knowledge of all things is in the Holy Spirit of God. So anyone who dwells in the Spirit can receive wisdom and understanding beyond the scope of this dimension we live in here on the earth, as well as impressions and call to prayer. I believe it works this way on earth, as we are spirit animated beings. When we have an emergency, Holy Spirit already knows it and spreads it around to those related to you. What if one of those people happens to be their grandmother, but she's in heaven? She just heard you were in a very serious accident, and you may not make it, but it's not your time yet. In this very same way, if we are only held together through him, as the scripture states, there is no isolation from information except by God's permission. This body of Christ is one, jointly fit together by God's design. In Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And I take that to mean those on earth and in heaven, since there is only one head, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:14, then we will no longer be infants tossed about by the waves and carried around by every wind of teaching, by clever cunning of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Christ himself, who is the head. From him, the whole body, fitted and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love through the work of each individual part. And here I add the parts on earth and the parts in heaven. In many testimonies about heaven, people have said how busy the angels and the saints are, running to and fro, serving the Lord for the salvation of souls on the earth. That has been my experience when I was in heaven as well. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Building on this scripture, there is only one head. That means that all parts of Christ's body are connected. Those in heaven with those on earth. Those who suffer with those who rejoice. We are, after all, one body in Christ. Even as Jesus told us, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. That's Luke 15:10. So how do the angels know of that sinner who repented? He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Romans 8. In Romans, we are told in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. And that's Romans 8. So it is clear that if the Spirit of God dwells in us and we are alert to him, we can know things happening far away. In addition, Hebrews 12:1 tells us we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race set out for us. Pray in the Spirit at all times, with every kind of petition and prayer. To this end, stay alert, with all perseverance in your prayers, for all the saints. Ephesians 6:18. And going back to Romans 8, Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, and who is now at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So the question is, if we are God's children, and we see Jesus interceding for those still on the earth, Shouldn't we also drop what we're doing and pray with him? Did he not say, pray without ceasing? In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Luke 18. So what does always mean? Always means all the time. Tell me, does this make sense? You've come home to heaven. You see that Jesus is praying, but you don't know if you can pray from heaven, so you just sit and watch him. One of the most foolish arguments I've ever heard is that Jesus is our great intercessor, so only he can pray in heaven. Are we not told to pray for one another? If you believe that argument, why do you ask your friends or evangelists to pray for you? Why do we have intercessory prayer groups? Are we not all called to intercede without ceasing? I still cannot find one scripture that says, you cannot pray from heaven for those on earth. Quite the contrary. All of scripture supports continuous prayer, whether we're here in the body or in heaven with the Lord. It seems very unlikely that the saints in heaven do not know what happens on earth when the angels do know. Hebrews 12:1 says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. In Revelation 6:10, martyrs are praying that God will judge the earth. Why would they stop once they are in the presence of God? I'd like to share with you the great cloud story that just came to me to really illustrate the absurdity of not being able to pray from heaven. Okay, let's say your daughter's on the high school soccer team and she's a really great player. You're on your way to the state runoff game to see which team will represent Louisiana in the national competitions. You get to the field and all the parents are anxiously waiting for the game to begin. The bleachers are filled to capacity, looking forward nervously to this game. They are facing off a team that won the championship last year, and everyone is very tense. There have been a lot of good changes in your daughter's team, and hopes are running high. The game begins. It's obvious that the opponents are tough and seasoned. But your team has done a lot of practicing to prepare for this. The game goes on for a good 40 minutes and everyone breaks for halftime. She comes running over to you and hugs you. It's tough out there. It's really tough, but we're holding up. You look at her with great pride because you know she's been working hard to prepare for this game. Break is over and the game starts again. You can see that the other team's defense is really strong, but the game is coming to a close, and they're at a tie. You're growing more anxious by the moment, and you start to pray, Lord, help her. She breaks through the defense and scores the winning goal just as the buzzer goes off. They won. Now let's change the scene. You're with the Lord in heaven, and you are one of the cloud of witnesses looking in on your daughter, who is in labor with her first child. It's a long, painful labor, and the doctors are concerned because the baby's heartbeat is getting weaker and weaker. God has allowed you to be present at this event from heaven for a very special reason. You realize how serious the situation is, and you begin to pray with all your heart. Lord, save her and the baby. Lord, please step in and bring this baby out safely, please. A soul standing with you says, be quiet. You can't pray for her. You're in heaven. You don't care. You keep praying and say, where does it say in the Bible that I can't pray in heaven? Look, Jesus is praying too. He stands forever making intercession for the saints. And he said, pray without ceasing. and you're telling me I can't? No way. You watch the doctors as the baby is finally delivered safe and sound, and you say, thank you, God. Thank you for saving my babies. One last story for you. When Jesse Duplantis was taken to heaven, physically, King David was his escort. When he was leaving heaven, coming back to earth, King David said to Jesse, Jesse, I'm praying for you. Wow, imagine that. King David praying for someone on earth. When Jesse showed up for the service, there was so much glory on him that no one in the entire congregation could say a word. He was like Moses coming down from the mountain. Then he told everyone what had happened to him. Truly, we have saints in heaven and relatives praying for us. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin, which clings so closely, and let us run the race that has been set before us with endurance. Hebrews 12:1. And let us have all faith and encouragement that the body is one, both on heaven and in earth, with one head, Jesus Christ, who is constantly making intercession for us and has asked us to do the same. God bless you. I hope this helps you understand the dynamics of those who pray for us from heaven.